KOJB 90.1 The Eagle, good day. Welcome to Environmental Voices. I'm your host, Marie Rock, and joining me in the studio once again is Steve Mortensen, Fish, Wildlife, and Plant Resource Program Director and Biologist for the Leech Lake Division of Resource Management. How are you doing today?
Doing quite well.
Awesome. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I thought we'd talk about raptors today.
What are raptors?
Well, raptors are a group of birds that encompass things like the hawks, eagles, osprey, owls, falcons, and believe it or not, the turkey vulture is also incorporated into that group.
Ew. What are some raptors that live here on the Leech Lake Reservation?
Well, probably the most common ones are things like the bald eagle, osprey, broadwing hawk, barred owl, great horned owl, the merlin, northern goshawk, red-tailed hawk, and then, of course, the turkey vulture.
Okay. Eagles, they're an important cultural icon to many tribal members. What can you tell us about eagles?
Well, eagles, of course, are our biggest raptor found on the reservation. Primarily, we have bald eagles here, although a lot of people say they've seen golden eagles, but what they're generally seeing is younger bald eagles, because bald eagles, for the first 3 or so years of their lives, are pretty much all brownish color. And once they get to about 4 years of age, they get the white head and tail.
Awesome.
Now, we do... Occasionally, there are actual true golden eagle sightings in Minnesota. In working here 31 years, I've never handled one, but there are some that are seen like in southeastern Minnesota and also a few up around Duluth. But for the most part, they're quite rare here, but they look similar to a young bald eagle.
Okay. I understand there's two different kinds of hawks. What are the differences?
Well, hawks are generally broken up into kind of two groups. That's the bootios and the accipiters. Now, bootios are generally considered to be the soaring hawks, and they tend to have large wings, relatively short tails. And things like the broadwing hawk, which is probably our most common hawk here, would be a typical example. And then the other one is a red-tailed hawk, which is really doesn't belong here, but as we've fragmented habitat, they've moved into the area. Now, accipiters are generally more interior forest hawks, and they tend to be more of a sit and watch and wait for something to come by, and then they'll dive down and get it. They tend to have short, rounded wings and long tails, and this makes them maneuverable in tight quarters, like if they're in the woods or something. We have a sharp-shinned hawk here, which is generally only seen during migration. Cooper's hawk is around, and the Coopers will actually nest in fairly close proximity to people, and sometimes they'll even nest in town and stuff. And then our biggest... Accipiter is a northern goshawk, and this is one that's fairly rare around here. There's only about 20 nests left. Northern goshawks are a bird that need kind of a special type of forest. They need older, mature forest that has an open flight path in the understory. And they hunt primarily by, like I said, sitting and watching for something to come by, and then they'll swoop down and grab it. And in this part of the country, we've done some diet studies, and what they eat most is chipmunks and red squirrels. Snowshoe hares are probably also an extremely important part of their diet, but of course snowshoe hares are pretty rare here anymore. But a very interesting hawk. One of the few hawks that will almost attack you if you get too close to its nest during certain periods of the nesting season. They will definitely dive on you. They rarely will actually hit you, but they will actually dive down and scream at you and try and drive you off.
Wow. We hear about lead poisoning in eagles. Is that still a problem?
Yes, lead poisoning is a problem with any... pretty much any animal, especially the birds and stuff that scavenge off of carcasses and things. So that's a real problem for them.
Okay. Can you tell us about owls?
Well, owls are pretty interesting birds, at least I think they are. For the most part, they're night feeders, although there is a few species that will feed somewhat during the day. And by feeding at night, they avoid competing with the hawks, because hawks obviously don't feed at night because they can't see well enough. But owls, of course, can see quite well at night. And some owls can hunt entirely by sound. They don't even have to see. And owls feed primarily on small mammals, whereas hawks and stuff, of course, will take small birds and even snakes and things if they get the opportunity.
Wow. What kind of owls do we have here?
Probably our most common owl is going to be the barred owl. And this is the one that you will frequently hear, and its call is something like, "Who cooks for you all?" sort of, if you want to add those words to the call. And this is the only dark-eyed owl that we have here. So if you see an owl that appears to have real dark eyes, that's probably what you're seeing. The rest of the owls we have here have yellow eyes.
Okay.
The barred owl is actually a cavity nester, which is kind of uncommon for the hawks and owls. Most of them nest in an open cup-type nest. But the barred owl actually nests in a cavity. And you can actually put up nest boxes for these guys, and they will use them. They have to have a bigger entrance than you would for a duck or something, but they will use nest boxes. And I put nest boxes up for them and had them nest on my property.
Wow.
Another owl I'll talk about is the saw-whet owl. This is a tiny, tiny owl, our smallest owl. It's only about 6 inches tall. And it has kind of a unique feeding behavior in that it has to have, in the winter at least, it has to have conifer trees that have branches close to the ground. And the way this thing feeds is that it will fly in and get up underneath the conifer branches that are close to the ground, maybe only 2 or 3 feet off the ground. And they do that because in most conifer trees, at least like spruce and things like that, when the snow comes down and you have thick conifer branches, the snow will be either held up in the tree or it'll be diverted away from the trunk of the tree. So right around the trunk of the tree, you will have, you know, very little snow or shallow enough that this tiny owl, who doesn't have a lot of strength, can actually get down through that snow. So the way this owl feeds is it flies around and looks for trees like that, and it will fly up and sit, you know, 2 or 3 feet off the ground, and it'll sit there and wait for a mouse or something to come by, you know, right underneath the tree where the snow is not very deep, so it can jump down and grab it. That's kind of unique feeding behavior. So with plantations and stuff, we don't have a lot of habitat for this owl because the growth form of the trees is not proper for them. Another owl I'll talk about is the great horned owl. And this is another owl similar to the red-tailed hawk that really doesn't belong here, but they moved into this area because we fragmented the forest. And great horned owls are kind of referred to as the tiger of the sky, tiger of the forest. And the reason they're called that is because they are vicious. I mean, I've handled a lot of injured birds and stuff. And even though an eagle, for example, is probably 3 or 4 times the size of a great horned owl, I will handle an eagle any day before I'll take on a great horned owl because they're just plain mean. Great horned owls are known to take on things like skunks, which are probably 2 or 3 times their size. And they'll, if they're hungry enough, they'll take on a skunk. There's even reports of great horned owls taking on like a full-sized turkey, you know, wild turkey, which are, you know, greatly outweigh them. But if they grab a hold of something, they will hang on and try their best to kill it. So they're just they're a very vicious bird. They're also known to kill things like goshawks, which is a concern because we bring great horned owls into a forest habitat where they really don't belong. Now we also on occasion will have what we call the eruptive hawk species, and these are owls that typically would spend more time up north, but in years when food is really short, they will migrate down here during the winter. So that's the snowy owl, great gray owl, and the northern hawk owl. Snowy owl, of course, is a white owl, more of the open plains type areas, but occasionally we see them here. Great gray owl is a big looking owl. It doesn't actually weigh that much. It looks bigger than a great horned owl, but it's actually not by weight that big. And this species comes down, and these are fairly tame. And there's been a few years when we've had like 100 or so great gray owls that have been seen around northern Minnesota. The other species is the northern hawk owl, and this is one that it behaves a lot more like a hawk than it does an owl, and it's also a day feeder to a great degree. And this is one that will sit up in the top of the tallest tree around and watch for something to eat, and then it will swoop down and grab it.
Wow.
They can also be quite tame. I know I was up taking pictures of owls one time, and I'd seen one in a tree, and you can use a technique if you take a mouse and attach it to a fish line and you cast the mouse out and then reel it in across the snow, the owl thinks it's a mouse running and they'll dive down and you can get pictures of it. That's how a lot of pictures are taken of owls. Anyhow, I'd found this owl and I was doing this and a car came by and it was some guys that were banding owls. And I'd already had quite a few pictures and they said, well, can we try and catch this owl and band it? And I said, well, sure. So watch them do that. So they have like a little wire mesh cage they set down. They actually have a live mouse they put under this cage and then they have a guy sit there like 6-8 feet away with a big dip net, and when the owl sees that mouse, he'll swoop down and try and grab it, and they scoop him up in a dip net. So they did this and caught this owl and took it out, and they said, oh, this one was already banded. It's got a new band on it. It's just been caught, you know, a couple of days before. So even though this owl had been caught days before and had gone through all this, it was still willing to come in and try it again. So it's kind of interesting.
Cooperation, that's what that is. Turkey vulture, last species in the raptor family. What's unique about the turkey vulture?
Well, turkey vulture is a species that comes up here during the summer. Like I said, it's a member of the raptor family, and it eats primarily carrion. It eats dead things. And it's actually adapted for this because it doesn't have any feathers or anything on its head. And that's so it can reach into disgusting places and pull out meat and not get its feathers all messed up. Turkey vulture is also one of the few bird species that actually can smell very well. I mean, it can smell things very well. It probably doesn't smell so well. But apparently, turkey vultures can smell something dead for several miles. Most birds have very poor sense of smell. That's probably why things like great horned owls will take on skunks, because even though they get sprayed, they probably can deal with it. If somebody's really interested in hawks and owls, particularly hawks, a good place to go is to go to the Hawk Ridge in Duluth, Minnesota. In the fall of the year, late September and October, the hawks migrate through that area. Hawks don't like to fly over open water because there's no thermals there. There's no uprising air, so they have to actually fly the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you've got, you know, the sun warming up the earth, you get thermals coming off, warm air rising. So the hawks will tend to migrate around the tip of Lake Superior, right on the edge of Duluth. And you can go there and get all kinds of experience looking at all sorts of different hawks.
Awesome.
Routinely, they will see, you know, 1,000 to 10,000 birds in a day. And I think their record is something like 100,000 broadwings in one day a number of years ago. So it's a really neat place to go if you have an interest in particularly hawks.
Cool. Have we seen changes in our raptor populations due to forest changes and climate change?
Certainly. And I talked about a few of these already, that we're getting like great horned owls and red-tailed hawks moving to the area, which typically would be found here in very low numbers. And also just changes in the forest. Some of the hawks I talked about, like goshawk, is having a tough time making a living here. And also talked about the sawwood owl. You know, their kind of unique feeding behavior, where they need to be able to get to conifer trees that have branches close to the ground. And I think we can anticipate even more changes as climate changes and the prey base changes. We're going to see some changes to lots of things.
Awesome. Steve, thanks so much for coming on in today. That's going to wrap up this edition of Environmental Voices for KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.